on today's expose. I figured, you know what, Kevin? This is a very Russian episode, so I didn't want to rush ending into choosing anybody. But also,
yeah, no Russian.
Also, it's a deal with the devil. So I'm like, who's Russian and deals with the devil? Magic, Ileana. Ooh. Ileana. And you know what I've never noticed until today? Because I was reading a comic where it mentioned her, and now that I'm looking at her Wikipedia, I've never noticed. Her last name is Rasputina, not Rasputin, like Colossus. There's an A on the end. I'm like, why is that? Is that like the female version?
we gender our last name because...
Yeah.
You're very clear who's a man and who's a woman in Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to know who to discriminate against.
Exactly. We need to know. Yeah, well, you're so bad.
Who to belittle in our country. Yeah.
Yeah. So she first appeared in Giant Size X-Men number 1, May of 1975. Just like in the X-Men TV show, she had a very little part. She was like, they showed Colossus like save her from the tractor, and that was about it. But she slowly became a bigger character. She was created first by Len Wein and Dave Cockrum. But when she has a very weird history, Kevin. Do you know her history?
I don't know if I know. I know some of her present, but not much of her history.
She started off as like Colossus's little like 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old sister. Like she was young. And she would kind of hang out with the New Mutants. She was like everybody's friend, but the New Mutants were older than her. Well, I'm getting there. Okay. So then she accidentally like opened a hell portal to Limbo and she got stuck there. Like the X-Men couldn't save her. Like Nightcrawler reached in and grabbed her hand, but in that split second that they were in different dimensions, she aged like 8 years and became a teenager. And that's when Chris Claremont was writing the character. So he aged her in order for her to be a teenager and be on the team with the New Mutants. And then eventually they had the whole Inferno saga where Madeline Pryor like raised Madeline Pryor. We love Madeline Pryor. She like raised all the forces of hell. And this doesn't quite make sense in X-Men lore. But they decided that if they pull Ileana out of Limbo when she's a little girl, then it will stop any of this from happening because they saved her. Which a lot of times in X-Men, it just makes a new timeline. So that kind of like goes against their own rule.
Right.
So then she was de-aged to a little girl, but then she got the legacy virus, Kevin, and then she died as a little girl.
Oh, no.
I know. And she was dead from like 1991, I want to say, till about 2005. And then she like came back and they were like, oh, it's Ileana, but she doesn't have a soul. But then they kind of like dropped that storyline and she's just Ileana and she's become like a major part of the X-Men now. She's even Cyclops' right-hand girl for a while.
Oh.
See? Yeah. So she is... She's someone who's very dear to my heart because when I was younger, having a little blonde sister, I attributed magic to her. So she's kind of a representation of my sister, but I also think she's really cool and has cool powers.
Hey, little sister, what have you done?
Exactly. So we love you, Miss Magic, Miss Ileana Rasputina, not Rasputin, also known as the Dark Child, Light Child. Archmage. There's an I in the middle.
Oh, Archmage.
And she has like so many powers. She can open interdimensional teleportation. She has psionic shields. She's also like a sorcerer, so astral projection, binding, energy manipulation, exorcisms, control of limbo, matter manipulation. Summoning, scrying. I feel like we're talking about Charmed. And she can also summon Eldritch armor onto herself, which is really cool. And she can make a soul sword.
She's super cool.
That's enough on her. I talked a lot about her. 4 minutes worth.
Longer than anyone we've ever talked about before.
Yeah.
I go where I want to go. Gene.
Jean?
Welcome to this week's Solving for X. My name is Sean. I'm the ultimate excavationist.
And I'm something of an X fan myself, Kevin.
Yes, Yales!
So on last week's Previously On, we asked the question, does Xavier have a right to invade a villain's mind? Kevin, we got a lot on this. We had 11 people vote no, which was 34%. But 21 votes, 66% said yes, Xavier does have a right. So that's kind of what we were talking about last week with Joshua. If he's trying to help someone, maybe it's okay if he does this if they're a villain.
Okay.
And today we're talking about A Deal with the Devil. This aired September 14th, 1996. Fun little fact, Kevin, this actually premiered in season 5 due to animation issues. So that's why it was 96 and not 95 like our other episodes.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on this episode before we recorded. And yeah, some sources say it's from season 3. Some sources put it in season 4. And some sources put it in season 5. I'm like, this is crazy. People don't know. That's what's the thing with these crazy X-Men, because of the air date and the different timings. It's like people don't even know. They get confused.
Yeah, what I go off of is I double-checked Eric Luwald's book. And he actually put in the story order in his book. And I verified that against Disney Plus. So we're going directly off of Eric Luwald, who actually wrote this episode too.
Perfect. Yes.
But yeah, it everything goes off of different dates. Date, air date, and production date. All right. Are you ready to get into this episode, sir?
Sure.
So crazy. All right. Snow tears through the... I didn't know how to say this. Caucasus? We'll go with Caucasus.
Sure.
Mountains, former Soviet Union. Three tents sit on a ridge as men in fabulous orange snowsuits search for something. While digging, one man calls out to the others that he found something. Everyone runs over for a dig party. They unearth, well, they end snow. An Omega Red popsicle. Yay!
I did enjoy that one guy with the glasses and his little, like, mustache-y thing. His little lines in the mustache-y. Yeah. That was fun. And this is the part of the horror movie where, like, they don't know what they're looking at and they're like, let's release it. But then they didn't do that. I was surprised. I was like, oh.
Were you... What were you expecting with a title like A Deal with the Devil? Did you think Omega Red would pop up?
No, I don't think I thought anything. I'm just like, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I didn't have time to think about it today.
I did think it was funny, like, I don't know, continuity error maybe, but when he first finds it, there's like the tendril. You know, but when they actually unearth Omega Red, he's like, I didn't see his tendrils out. He was just prone.
Mm-hmm. See?
Oh, well, we'll go with it.
We'll go with it. All right, 2. Back on the mainland, Omega Red has been thawed, and the Finders Keepers men are talking to him. Yeah, because they said, you idiots, don't let him out. We've got plans for him. Let's take him first and then thaw him once he's contained. So,
and you're going to find, I didn't know really what to call these men because they don't really ever say who they are. Like, the only hint we get is Omega Red calls them imperialists. So I went with that for most of the time.
Sure. Yeah, just random government people.
Yeah.
But yeah, they find him and they talk to him and they say that they have Omega Red bound and chained and want to make a deal. Omega says he doesn't make deals with imperialists. Oh, there's that word.
Yep.
Oh, the colonel, but he says colonel. Colonel. The colonel tells him that the war is already over. It's like, yo, that's old war. We won, by the way. Suck it. And they want Omega Red to recover a radioactive sub near Hawaii, and in return, they will make him human. The colonel also tells Omega Red, by the way, we implanted you with a liquid nitrogen implant, so if don't get any funny ideas, if you don't help, we'll ice you. Omega Red says, that's cool, I find that satisfactory, but I want something more. He's like, name it. It's like, everything is better with friends. I want Wolverine and Storm to come along.
So I noted, I've never really realized it, but like, does Omega Red sound kind of like Mojo Jojo?
I mean, I suppose a little more Russian-y, but yeah.
Yeah, a little more Russian-y, less cartoony. But there is something he said. I was like, that's straight up Mojo Jojo right there. I also put the Soviet Union as a 90s moment.
You got mail.
90s moment.
Okay. Nobody talks about that anymore. Like, that's a very 90s thing.
It is. Yeah, I remember that all the time. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but it's like a phrase that always happens when I was a kid.
Yeah, apparently it ended in 1991. So it was still like a hot topic when X-Men was being created, but like it's been very forgotten since, I feel.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on why Omega Red would have chosen Wolverine and Storm to come along?
Well, I knew Wolverine was like an old friend of him, or friend. I knew right away that was an option for Wolverine.
And friend then I'm of like, me.
You friend of me. Then I'm like, Storm, why would he want Storm? I'm like, I guess because I thought it was weird because it's like she can just freeze you again. Why would you want her there? But I don't know, revenge.
Well, good. I'm glad you remembered. Yeah, Storm was the one who froze him in what's it called? Red Dawn. It's called Red Dawn when we first saw him and Storm froze him. Red Dawn! Dead by Red Dawn!
I also got a nice previously on before this episode started, so I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I also feel, because Omega Red makes a little smirk later, I feel like he chose her because he knows she's claustrophobic, but that doesn't really play out in the episode.
No, but kind of, but no. It's weird.
Yeah. It's like, it's mentioned that she's claustrophobic and he has this sly little Omega Red smile, but then it doesn't really go anywhere eventually.
Yeah.
Ooh, I get to say it. Back at the manor. Wolverine is a little surprised that anyone wants to work with Omega Red. Beast assures Wolverine that there is the implant. Wolverine still isn't happy. Omega Red orders liquid nitrogen implants from Starbucks for breakfast, Kevin. Professor X offers to go instead of Wolverine. This is like, Professor X usually isn't this person. Like, I was surprised that he offered.
Yeah, usually he just sends people wherever he wants to go and where he doesn't want to go. This time he's like, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Is Lalandra there? No, I don't want to go then. Okay. Wolverine, the drama that she is, says no. She wants to be there when Omega Red messes up. So I thought it was funny. Wolverine was like whining about going, but then the minute Professor X is like, I'll go. He's like, no, I want to go.
Right. And miss the party. Like, no way, Jose.
I feel like this is just Professor X knowing Wolverine and knowing that, like, if I say I'll go instead, he'll be mad. So he's just like controlling Wolverine.
It's, yeah, reverse psychology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 4.
back on the mainland, the Imperialists have Omega Red bound and ready to board the sub. Wolverine and Storm are there, prepping for launch. And we have Ponytail Storm back. Ooh, Ponytail Storm. The three mutants prepare to board. As Storm enters, we get a quick but effective reminder that she's a claustrophobic. Yeah, I love this because she looks in the hole. We got a blur in the hole. And then I'm like, oh, is this Storm having a mild panic attack? I'm glad that I caught that because someone less, you know, privy might be like, oh, what an interesting transition that is. They're going underwater. That's why it's blurry.
Yeah.
But no, I know.
You've been taught well, my young apprentice.
Yes, yes.
You also have a good eye for this stuff, so I can't take too much credit.
Sniper.
Sniper. Good eye, Sniper. Do you know where I say that?
Why do you say that?
There's a song by Coheed and Cambria, if you remember that band, where he's like, good eye, Sniper. Nice. So that's why I say it all the time. Yes, his voice is kind of annoying like that. No. The merry mutants tear through the water in their little yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, Kevin.
A yellow submarine.
Meanwhile, the Beatles are getting ready to sue because this was so their thing first. Wolverine tries to get more info from Omega Red, who is still bound, by the way. Omega Red tells Wolvie that he was promised his humanity. Storm reminds Omega Red to stay calm. Reminds Wolverine and Omega Red, I should say. It's taking all the control she has to keep her claustrophobia at bay. Omega Red looks on with a huge smile on his face. So this is where it was hinted, like, this is what he likes. He likes Storm to be claustrophobic.
I like to torture her. Ah. And she's like, Wolverine, you know I don't like small spaces.
What did you think of Wolverine in this scene? Because I feel like he gets so mad so easily.
Yeah, I mean, he's just yelling at everything. Like, everything just sets him off in this one. He's like, Omega Red's here. I gotta be on guard, so whatever you say, I hate it.
Yeah, because when Omega Red says, like, oh, for my humanity, Wolverine's like, you don't have humanity! Like, calm down, girl! Calm down!
You're a monster! The yellow submarine continues on its way. Storm announces to Mission Control that they have found the nuke sub. She carefully drives them in close to the sub. Wolverine makes an ignorant comment about the Soviets, hoping they build the sub better than Chernobyl. Storm comes in too hot and collides with the sub, but everyone is unharmed. Just then, the Imperialists set Omega Red free. There's a tense moment between Omega Red and Wolverine. But Omega Red calmly leads them into the nuke sub anyway. He's like, whatever, we're cool.
Whatever.
For now.
Yeah. All right. Storm and Wolverine enter the sub in full protective gear, but Omega Red doesn't need all that shit. He can just breathe in the toxins. So they follow him through the abandoned sub. Everyone watches as Omega Red starts up the sub. Omega Red starts up the sub and starts driving it home. Oh, wait. He has other plans. He removes his implant very easily and reminds Wolvie and Storm that if there is but a tear in their suits, they will die from radiation poison.
These little suits, though, are so ugly.
They really are.
Look like little Lego people.
Yeah, you're right. I thought it was funny how big the nitrogen thing was in him. It was huge, and he just reaches back and like pulls it out. I feel like if this were for adults, it would have been like bloody, and there would have been like a whole scene of him digging in his skin.
Winter. Yeah, yeah. Like, whatever, it'll heal. Whatever.
Whatever. Did you notice a 90s moment here?
You got mail. 90s moments.
I did. I have it in my notes. I have Energizer Bunny reference here.
Yeah. He says they ought to use a sub in one of those battery ads with that rabbit.
It just keeps going and going and going.
Yep.
We don't see them. Do they still make ads for him? I don't see them anymore.
Yeah, I was trying to think if they do or not, because I don't remember the last time I saw one. It probably went a little into the 2000s, but
for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Curious. The imperialists call the U.S. to get help with their rogue sub, while Omega Red taunts Wolverine. Wolverine blows his lid and pops his claws, which is not right because it just goes right through his suit. You're just creating holes in your suit. Stupid.
Yep.
Omega Red easily dispatches him. Storm blows Omega. Ooh. And into the ceiling. And helps Wolverine. And helps Wolverine look for a mini sub. Omega Red attacks from behind and takes Storm and Wolverine. I know another. Let me just look at that again. Attacks from behind and takes Storm and Wolverine captive. He announces to the Imperialists that he has programmed the missiles to hit the 15 largest cities in the world just to watch them burn. And when they showed the little computer with the little glowy yellow missiles, I thought they were penises for a minute. I was like, what is that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're missiles. Okay.
Wow.
I know.
And we get another great Stormism here. She goes, we are almost there.
Yeah, I loved her.
Yeah. Back on top of the water, Beast and Rogue are in the Blackbird. Professor X is guiding them on how to attack the Rogue sub. Speaking of Rogue, she doesn't love the idea of putting Storm and Wolverine in danger. Professor X says, well, it's our last resort if everything goes wrong. They're trying to buy time until the Navy gets there. Beast tells Rogue they do have time, though. The sub needs to get much deeper in order to launch the missiles. Much deeper, yeah, Kevin.
I know. That's so deep.
So I feel like this episode has so much jam-packed in it because, like, it moves so fast. If you think of the first part, they're like, oh, we need to help Omega Red. And then the next scene, like, they're there with Omega Red. And then we never even see, like, Rogue and Beast get in the Blackbird and go. They're just there.
There. Yeah.
But it works. They did a good job.
They did. I mean, if I follow it pretty well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Next is Tad. We get a slow pan over rocks once again, which means we're back with the Colonel. The Colonel be mad that no one can get there for another 10 minutes when the sub will be within launch depth in 5. Oh no.
And I don't know about you, but this man who reads the report to the Colonel, I'm pretty sure that was Cedric Smith who voices Cyclops.
I thought Norm Spencer did Cyclops.
Or no, you're right. Norm Spencer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm getting names mixed up.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that too. I'm like, this sounds just like Cyclops.
Yeah. And somebody online even thinks they had a thought that these people were like the Canadians doing all this just because they all have like very Canadian accents. I'm like, I think that's just because they're all voiced by Canadians.
Yeah.
Back at the sub, Omega Red tells Storm and Wolvie that his country made so many great weapons, but were never brave enough to use them. Omega Red announces his plan is to basically shoot off the missiles, then resubmerge and chill until he decides to come resurface and pick up the pieces by leading the world into a grand new era. This guy's a dick. This is a stupid plan. This is all. I'm going to destroy everything and then rule over it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everybody's here is jerky. All involved, except for men.
True.
Yeah. Because even, well, I'll get to it later.
Okay.
All right. 12. Just then, a bomb splodes next to the sub, knocking Omega Red down. The colonel is confused as to where the splody came from, as no plane or boat is showing on radar. It's like Wonder Woman's invisibility jet, but it's not Wonder Woman at all. It's a nightmare. We see that the culprits were Rogue and Beast with their, what's it called? What's it called when you do that? Secret.
Camouflage?
No, stealth. No. There we go. Stealth. Their stealth. Okay. Their stealth thing on. Yes.
Okay.
They can still listen in through Storm and Wolverine's mics. Like, they don't know it's odd, do they? Beast says their bomb probably won't be too much of a delay, but at least it's something.
Yeah. Did you see there was like a hair on the film? So every time the Blackbird like moved up and down, there was a hair in the upper right that like moved with it.
No, I didn't. That's funny.
It was funny. Back in the fathoms below, the sub races on. Yeah. Omega Red positions the sub to reach launch depth, even as he holds Wolverine and Storm in his tendrils still. He's like very dexterous with these tendrils.
Yeah. Above! The Blackbird wheels around to position itself to launch more bombs. Storm is able to get into a position to lightning strike Omega Red, and she does. She do it.
She does. Yeah, she's kind of a badass.
I know.
The colonel prepares his team to take out the missiles if they launch. If they can't stop the sub, they need to prep a new plan. Our Norm Spencer dude announces missiles don't usually arm until they are near their target. But he worries that what if Omega Red is able to reprogram the missiles? He could also arm them right away, so that way if they're shot down, they'll like nuclear explode. So he like causes a whole new chaos for all of our characters.
Insanity.
Yeah.
The Blackbird hovers overhead. Beast announces that Omega Red has reached launch depth. Professor X tells them to bomb the fuck out of the sub. He tells them that if the missiles launch, they must stop them at all costs, any cost. Yeah.
Yep. And there goes Professor X ordering his X-Men, like, you need to die for me. I'm not going to be there with you, but just in case, you need to be ready to die to stop these missiles. Fuck you, Charles.
Yep, exactly. Stop them before they come to me and kill me, because I'm not going to get in danger.
Yeah.
Rude.
And I wonder if Charles was there, would he have been able to control Omega Red's mind?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Back in the sub, Omega Red gets ready to launch the missiles. Everyone watches in terror as the missiles break the water surface. The Blackbird shoots one down to find out that the missiles are not armed. They shoot them down. The Russians are confused since there's no one on the radar. Two missiles rapidly fly out of range. Rogue tells Beast, "Don't worry, Sugar. I got this." And she misses both her shots.
Amazing.
Amazing. Oh, Rogue.
Comic gold.
Yeah.
Back in the sub, Omega Red is mad. He has caught on that the X-Men must have had help, since there is no way the Navy could have gotten there that fast. He surmises it's the X-Men. Stupid X-Men, stinking mutants. He watches as the Navy destroys the last of the missiles.
Oh. Above, Beast gives a really long congratulatory quote, as below, Omega's red temper flares. He hath been thwarted! Omega Red realizes that the warheads can still be armed. He calls over to the Russians and threatens that if they fire on the missiles again, the whole Hawaiian coast will be bye-bye.
Oh, no.
Right. Rogue gets mad and jumps out of the blackbird ever so gracefully, beautifully, though. I'm like, dive into that pool's air wind, whatever. Dive into those clouds.
Yep.
And jumps out of the blackbird without giving Beast a heads up. She's like, bye. Rogue swim flies. Okay, good. I'm glad you say swim flies because I'm not the only one. That was perfect. Swim flies down to the sub as Omega Red is bullying Storm. Rogue destroys the hull just as Omega is about to pull off Storm's helmet, exposing her to the radiation. No, don't! Omega runs off to see what is attacking the sub as a still safely in her helmet. Storm effortlessly picks up big ol' heavy-ass Wolverine and takes him to the escape hatch. Come on! Let's go!
I was like, that bitch is strong. Like, he's all full of metal and he's all like thick, and she's just like, come on, Wolverine, and fix him up.
We must get out of here.
Yeah. So. Get it, Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue comes up for air. Beast asks her what she did. She answers by telling him, I love this so much, Kevin. I bet his boat. What a great line. An escape pod pops up next to Rogue. Storm and Wolverine are on it. Storm announces that Omega Red shouldn't be able to cause any more damage on his ruined toy. The Blackbird grabs them and lifts them to safety. I bent his boat.
I bent it. It's a bent boat.
Yeah, I love it. All right.
Back in the sub, Omega Red tries to drive the sub, but everything fails, and he falls into an abyss deeper than my hole. Oh.
I thought he liked that.
I mean, yeah. I'm working on it.
You see, I'm not a pro.
Jerking, working, it's all the same.
Yeah. Back at the manor, Beast reports in to the professor. He says Storm's claustrophobic trauma will pass, but Wolverine is still dangerously mad at Omega Red. Wolverine declares revenge on Omega Red, who he knows is still alive in that deep hole.
Yes.
Yes.
Get your tendrils in my deep hole.
Stop it. So, Kevin, what did you think of this episode?
I am going to give it expected. Not because it was a bad episode. I think it was written very well. It's just not the kind of episode that interests me as much. It's because Omega Red's in there and it's very government-y and I don't know. But I think it's still good for what it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna echo you because I do like it. It's a great episode with great lines. My only issue that I take umbrage is like, we're not really given a clear reason why it has to be Omega Red. Like, we know he's an asshole. We know he can't be trusted. And yet they're like, oh, well, he could breathe in the radiation. But, like, they could have gone in radiation suits and not gone through all of this.
Right.
So I just need a clearer answer there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do I kind of, in my own headcanon, I feel like another story was inspired by this, though, because later, much later in the 2000s, in Ultimate X-Men, There's actually a comic where Colossus, we find out, can turn into metal form. And when he's in metal form, he doesn't have to breathe. So he actually walks down the ocean floor and picks up it was over like 200,000 tons. He picks up a submarine and carries it to the surface and just like lays it down.
Colossus, right here on the ocean floor.
Yeah. Hi, Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian.
It is me. You're not. Yeah. It's great.
So, yeah, I feel like this would have worked better as like a Colossus story. Of course, I feel like back when this was written in 96, 95, I don't think that was canon yet that Colossus doesn't breathe in metal form, but I feel like it would have been a better story with like Colossus in there and somebody attacks the sub or sneaks on the sub or something like that.
Right.
Cool. So who would you say is the MXP?
For me, it's Storm all the way.
Oh.
Because not only does she agree to go into this little space that she's afraid of, she faces her fears and she does it for her friends, for the good of the people, for the X-Men and everything. She's carrying Wolverine everywhere. She's fighting him off. She fought through Wolverine's crazy, like, impulsiveness. And she's like, Wolverine, don't. You know, I won't survive if you go on a spree and she rips off our suits. Like, you gotta listen to me. So she's killing him down. Like, she's been doing it this whole episode.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I have a three-way tie here because I feel like, except for Wolverine, who's completely useless, and the professor, who's like, everybody go die for me, Beast, like, keeps a very level head in, like, his attacks. He's very smart in, like, kind of diverting the sub. Rogue, like, goes down there, and she's the one who, like, stops Omega Red from killing Storm. But you're right, Storm, like, is the one who keeps Wolverine safe. So you convinced me. I'm going to give it to Storm because, yeah, she totally faced her fears and, like, did a lot to be in that sub.
Yeah.
Cool. What would you say is the X Factor?
I put typical government organizations being idiots and power hungry and selfish, and they're just so stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, do what I say. I got insurance. I got, you know, ways to get around you, but they really mean nothing because you're so such an idiot.
Yeah.
That's typical of X-Men.
it's typical of X-Men that we see the bad humans are the ones who cause the bad mutants. Like, they're the ones who created Omega Red, and then by trying to use him for their own benefit as if he's a thing, they, like, continuously turn him more and more evil because now he hates people more that he's been used this way.
It's like, you are a living weapon. All we ever see you is as a living weapon, but we can turn you human. I know you want to be human, even though you'll never be human. Like,
yeah.
It's like, what bitches?
Yeah, and what a bitch thing to be like, we control you. We put this bomb in you that you can't possibly find. Oh, you found it. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So I gave this some thought. I want to hear from people. Like, I put together a list of people who don't necessarily need to breathe, Kevin. So who would you trust to recover this irradiated sub? Would you put Omega Red? Would you put Colossus? Would you put Juggernaut? Or would you put Namor?
Well, definitely not Omega Red and definitely not Juggernaut. Those two, no. Namor is very much like Wakanda Forever. It's very much that storyline. he could get it done, although, I don't know. He's sexy enough. But I think for me, it would have to be Colossus. He seems to be the kindest and the most reliable of them all.
Namor is like a wild card. If it helps his people, he'll do it. But if it doesn't, he's going to set those missiles off too, just like Omega Red did.
Yep.
So yeah, Colossus is the only character that could have done this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Wolverine might have been able to with this healing factor.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Cool. So next up we have a two-parter, which we're going to release in 2 weeks. So one episode at a time. This one, Kevin, is called Sanctuary. What do you think it's about?
Hunchback of Notre Dame. Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Yeah, I love that. But I'm guessing it's something to do with some kind of safe haven for some kind of mutant.
Look at you.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Cool. So I'm excited to get to this one. I think it's a good double parter. And fun fact, in the credits, they showed a scene from Sanctuary.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask. I have notes about that, actually. I forgot about that. Because I was looking at the, I was watching the credits. I was like, oh, it's Magneto. Is that Richter in there? Yeah. But I saw cute little gay Magneto doing his little head bob thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, you sassy Magneto over here.
I noticed that too. I wonder if Kevin noticed. I'm like, I'm going to have so much fun talking about this little thing.
He should have put a ring on it.
Right. Oh my God. It was awesome.
Oh no. So cool. Yeah, we'll get to those. And then you'll be gone. You'll leave me here in the U.S. all alone. I can't believe you're doing this to me. I would never do that to you.
Oh, right. Like it never happened already.
Oh. Cool. So if people miss you while you're gone and want to look for you, where should they find you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can follow my shenanigans on the Instagram, KGZ87. Yes, I'll probably have pictures and stories and stuff there. Or you can listen to Sean and I on my other podcast, Words of the Witches, doing comic booky things of Charmed Season 9. It's near the end. If I'm in Paris while this is happening, we would have finished all of Season 9. And yeah. So, ta-da.
Yeah, we would have finished Season 9 last week. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. I know. Ooh. So next on the agenda would be the ebooks.
Yay. Back
some novels. Yeah.
Good. I bought those like when you first announced the show because I found them on Amazon and I haven't read them yet. So I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, and I'll tell you. We'll get to that later. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, and for me, you could find me on Once Upon a Cult, where this last week we talked about the Quiverful movement, which is the group from the Our Father documentary that spreads his semen through everybody.
I remember that.
Yeah. And you can also find me on a much more family-friendly, happier show, Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, where we give you the Marvel, Star Wars, Disney news of that week. Yay! And thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with Sanctuary and Gay Magneto.
Yeah, I can't wait.